KNOM Update News. I'm Lorelei Kinnean, and it's 9:02. Searchers continue to find items thought to be from the boat of Nick Cook and Jim Napoca. More than 60 searchers from the Lower Kuskokwim were involved yesterday. They've narrowed the focus to the Helmlik Point Gialik River area and have spread out on a grid. Earlier this week, they found footprints that may belong to one of the missing men near the mouth of the Gialik River, about 10 miles upriver from Tuntutuliak. That's where they found Napoca's boat submerged on Sunday. They continued to follow footprints and broken branches yesterday, but they found no sign of the men. 37-year-old Nick Cook of Bethel and 46-year-old Jim Lee Napoca of Tuluksak have not been heard from in more than a week. Bethel Search and Rescue is coordinating ground operations. Many communities have been involved, including Eek, Napuskiak, Napakiak, Kwithluk, and Tuntutuliak. Councilman Stan Anderson sent a letter of apology to the Norton Sound Health Corporation Board of Directors yesterday. Anderson is a Health Corporation board member representing the city of Nome. At Monday's Nome Common Council meeting, Anderson made what could be characterized as a racist comment. In talking about the condition of the carpet at Old St. Joe's, he said that the carpet looks like someone from a village installed it. He did backtrack and say there's nothing wrong with villages. The carpet is often held down with duct tape. In the letter of apology, Anderson says what he said was, quote, stupid and unacceptable, and that he accepts that he was wrong. He also says he's learned he needs to be more sensitive to the needs of the villages. Norton Sound Health Corporation Board Chair Emily Hughes is traveling and was not available for comment. Anderson said in the letter that he's willing to accept the consequences of his choice of words. He also wants to know if any board members or their villages have a problem working with him in the future. On November 6th, the Bureau of Land Management is holding a lease sale for plots inside the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. The reserve is a vast expanse in the North Slope west of Prudhoe Bay. The last eight lease sales put up 1.5 million acres for sale altogether. In Anchorage next Wednesday, three times that number will be up for auction, 4.5 million acres. After a lengthy evaluation process and a month of comments last summer, concessions were made on which lands would be leased. Areas vital for the migratory patterns of animals is important for subsistence hunters, and they were deemed off limits to development forever. Environmental conservation groups are generally pleased with the decision not to open federally owned lands to privately held resource extraction companies. But Edward Napaliak, a whaling captain in the community of Nuiqsut, is not satisfied with how the BLM has negotiated development in the region.
Our subsistence way of life is being depleted by the north, south, east, and now on the west side. We depend on NBRA on the west side for subsistence purposes because there is no development, no exploration going on.
Napaliak sent a public comment to Bud Cribley, the state director of BLM, on behalf of himself and other subsistence hunters in the area. It requested the BLM halt further development or sales near the Niglick Channel and Fish Creek. Community members are worried that tracts of land up for auction will further decimate their subsistence resources.
Well, in the past, before all this development has occurred, caribou used to migrate like 3 to 4 miles down or upriver, and the harvesting was real good back then. And today, you don't see those anymore.
Napaliak says that noise from all the development is keeping caribou herds farther away. Helicopters fly workers and engineers to installations, and there's more seismological activity in the region. In addition, he and others are finding poisoned fish coming down the Colville. He says bowhead whales the community depends on are being affected as well. Nuiqsut does not fall within the areas the BLM has designated as exempt from development, but an area around Wainwright does, at least until next year. The Pyrd Bay Special Area is a stretch of the Chukchi Coast in the northwest corner of the NPRA. By next year, the leases in the area will be up for bids, opening the possibility of a pipeline to carry oil from offshore rigs to the Trans-Alaska pipeline. KJ Moskovich of BLM's Office of Communications says the petroleum reserve could one day connect distant oil production facilities.
The NPRA could be used for infrastructure that would carry offshore development resources. The area that's open for infrastructure development would allow for a route from the Beaufort and the Chukchi offshore development through the NPRA to existing facilities.
While Shell Oil very publicly withdrew from well development in the Chukchi last year, the BLM is anticipating continued industry interest in the region. Nebogliuk says that the potential 300-mile-long pipeline would change the region irreparably. Nebogliuk says he and others in the community want the government to slow down the pace of lease sales until a sufficient inquiry can be made into the effects of industry development in the region. And on Saturday in Nome, Alaska State Troopers sponsored a prescription drug take-back drive on Front Street. It's part of a nationwide effort started in 2010 by the Drug Enforcement Administration to partner with local law enforcement officials in order to collect expired and unneeded prescription medications. A few times a year in cities around the country, anyone can anonymously turn in any medications to be disposed of. Megan Peters, spokesperson for the Alaska State Troopers, calls the activities proactive law enforcement geared toward public safety. If you couldn't make it to the take back event this weekend, Lieutenant Commander Lynette Wasson explains how to get rid of old pills instead.
The first step is to pour the medication in an undesirable substance such as kitty litter, used coffee grounds, or even dirt. After you mix everything together, then put it in a container, something that can be readily sealable at the top. Some other things that have been used is any container with a lid, like a yogurt container with a lid, and just kind of snap it on. After you put the contents in the container, then you can then throw it away.
Wasson is part of the U.S. Public Health Service as well as a staff pharmacist at Norton Sound Regional Hospital. Inadequate disposal is dangerous, and children or animals can be inadvertently poisoned if they ingest thrown away pills. Many people flush pills down the toilet, but more pharmacists and environmental officials are worried over what trace amounts of prescription medications could be doing to groundwater. In the case of highly addictive pain medications and opiates, fast disposal is preferable to proper disposal. Nationwide, addiction and recreational abuse of such meds has been a growing problem the last few years, in particular, meds in the C2 category.
Morphine, oxycodone, OxyContin, fentanyl patches, MS-Contin is another one, any morphine product. So a lot of the pain medicines.
These are medications that should be flushed once an injury has healed or the expiration date is reached. Last year, Alaska State Troopers confiscated almost 3,000 prescription pills being illegally bought and sold, but they did collect 2 tons of medication at take-back events across the state. A look at the price of gold this morning, down $19.90 an ounce to $1,324 even. An ounce of silver at $22.02, down 82 cents. It's unofficially 21 degrees at the KNOM studios, coming up on 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.